previously.tv podcast network.
Must be nice working at home.
Yeah, it is. When things are quiet.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills, 90210. Today's episode is Season 8, Episode 18, Rebound. And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hell. Huh? What was that?
Sarah D. Bunting.
Okay. Hi.
Hello. Dave may be trying to drag this out because we have, I believe, a record low number of clips with 8. So
I don't think we've had this few since that.
Since last time?
No. Since that terrible amusement park one with Burt Reynolds. I think that was the previous record holder. Anyway, before we get into it, just a reminder, you can purchase an ad on this podcast. It's $50 for a personal message, $100 for a commercial message. You can give us copy to read. You can ask us to put copy together for you. You can find out more at previously.tv/ads. Shall we start?
No, yes. We shan't.
You don't get a say. I mean, I understand the impulse, Dave, but we must start with our C story. Donna has a run-in with a kid model's momager. So we're back at the good old 70s B-roll modeling agency as Donna supervises a shoot for the Child's Play fashion line that Zach helped her get off the ground. She gives Robert, the client, some Polaroids of Sasha, who is the girl who's modeling the clothes. And we hear Sasha screaming at the photographer behind her, to which Donna tells Robert she's heard she has a reputation. And Robert's like, this has to go well. Like, this kid's behavior is not really within Donna's control, but she says she'll take care of it. She goes over to see what's up. It turns out she's mad at her mother, Kim, for breaking her promise to take her to the circus because Sasha has an audition for a movie. And Kim asks if she can get Sasha anything, and Sasha demands Donna's bracelets, and Kim just sends her over to makeup rather than tell her that's not okay to ask. And when she's gone, Kim tells Donna she knows it's odd, but she'll buy Donna some more, and Donna's like, the fuck? In clip two.
It's not about the bracelets. I don't think giving her everything she wants is such a good idea.
Do you want another tantrum?
No.
Well, then give me the damn bracelets.
I'm sorry, no.
Music.
I don't know. And also, like, obviously she sucks at it, but don't tell her how to parent. Just be like, I'm sorry, I can't do that, and end the conversation. Like, this whole, well, whatever, we'll get into it on Forge.
Yes. So Robert watches this exchange looking disappointed, but doesn't fire Sasha because she knows she shows up the next day having made herself up in the car, and you can see this is the official ace. She's just like drawn clown makeup on herself with her mother's lipstick. Okay. Kim is understanding. JK, she's the worst. Clip three.
I don't know what she was thinking. She looks like a clown.
She was probably thinking it'd be fun to look like a clown.
I'd like you to keep your distance from Sasha. You upset her so much yesterday that she blew her audition. She wouldn't even read her scene.
Maybe she didn't want to.
Of course she did. The singing lessons, the acting coaches, the dancing classes. We've been working for this for 20 years.
20 years? Sasha's only 8.
I was a model myself. I'm talking about my training, which I am now passing on to Sasha.
Did you hear that? We this, we that. It's not about the little girl. She wants this for herself.
Raising the child is not our job.
No, it's hers. She's too busy living through her child to do it.
No one cares.
Yeah, shut up, Donna. What the fuck? This is your model. Like, figure it out. Anyway.
Yeah, later. I'm going to look this up, but I think actually this actor playing Kim, Kim's the mom, right?
Yeah.
Was a model?
Probably.
She's definitely a, hey, it's that mom or pinchy wife.
Yeah, she was a Picard love interest on Star Trek The Next Generation for a time.
Ah, all right.
Anyway.
Hold, please. I will, well, actually, don't hold. Just let's get this over with, and I'll chime back in if there's anything to report.
Very good. Later, Donna brings Robert the shots from the previous day, saying that Sasha has a memorable look, even if she's a brat. And Robert's like, we've committed resources to Sasha. She's the face of the brand. And Donna is open to suggestions for how to improve their working relationship. And Robert tells her to look for another job. Donna's like, the clothing is based on my designs, which I would not brag about. But Robert says she'll get everything she's entitled to, but he can't have her risking this shoot. By the way, just as a sidebar, the presentation that she gave that resulted in this fashion line happening was like 3 episodes ago. Like, none of this is how stuff works, but whatever.
Yeah.
After a conversation with David about not doing the wrong thing to keep your dream job, Donna just struts back onto the photo shoot after getting fired and pacifies Sasha, who is still screaming about going to the circus, by bringing the circus to her, taking off her coat to reveal a clown outfit that I choose to believe she assembled from items that were already in her wardrobe.
Yeah.
Kim is appalled, but Sasha is thrilled and agrees to one more shot if Donna stays, and Kim and Robert have to back down. And this is extremely unprofessional, even before Donna goes to shake Robert's hand with a joy buzzer on, because she's a clown. And the next day, Donna shows up at the studio at Robert's request so that Sasha can tell her she's finally going to the fucking circus, and so that Kim can eat shit and clip 4.
Last night after you left, I haven't seen her that happy in a long time. She was acting like...
like a kid?
Yeah. I pushed her because I wanted her to have the things that I didn't have. And you showed me that I pushed too hard. Thank you.
Saint really? Donna saves the day again.
I mean, okay, first of all, this actor is probably best known to listeners of a certain age for playing Corinne, Arnie Becker's eventual wife.
Oh, yeah, that's
on
right.
On L.A. Law. Mm-hmm. She, you know, doesn't look much like, she looks basically the same. Great bone structure.
Yeah.
And it's really not very nice to treat a veteran character actor this way, i.e. giving her these stupid lines. But listeners, if you're still watching along with us, first of all, don't do that. Well, we got this. Don't hurt yourselves. But second of all, if you are, like, get used to, like, just, you know, day players being like, Donna, you're the best. Thank you for pointing out the error of my ways, 23-year-old.
Yeah. Like, basically, this speech is like, thank you for being a better mother to my child than I am. Whatever. Anyway, what is this actress's name, by the way?
Her name is Jennifer Hetrick.
There we go. She does, if she wasn't a model, she certainly has that look. Like, she's, you know, she's very beautiful. This is not to say anything against her, but she has that slightly androgynous, like, model-y look where she's got a very square jaw that, you know, looks good in pictures. Anyway.
Yeah, she's also been in a ton of commercials, and I think mm-hmm. you can probably see her in the Crestor cholesterol medication one currently.
Oh, sure.
And this has been Hetrick Trivia.
So then Robert also eats shit so that Donna will come back and supervise the Child's Play account, and Donna agrees as long as she can set the hours for kid photo shoots, and gives him a very smug smile, and it makes you want to punch her. On to the B plot, someone's suing Noah and David's caught in the middle. So David, still embedded with that stupid band, stupidly named Jasper's Law, which seems to involve a lot of telling them they're great, like as they come off the stage at the Peach Pit After Dark. The lead singer, whose name is Jasper, says they're about to play the song that they bought from David, who tries to tell him not to because they're trying to impress Noah, which is kind of a funny self-own of his. but he says it's because Noah is an up-tempo guy who's not going to like a love song. The singer takes the note, and Val's like, I didn't know it was a love song. And David is like, I didn't tell you about that. And she tries to get to fish for him to say it's about her. Like, we all know it's going to turn out to be about Donna. Just get on with it.
Seriously.
But then David goes out to the parking lot where Mark is drinking a beer we just saw him buy from Noah at the bar, and smoking a joint, which he offers to David, who declines. Like a cop, David reminds him that he has kind of a big audition in a second, and Mark doesn't give a shit and drives away with David still yelling after him. And exactly what is David's role right now? Because he's acting like a manager again.
Yeah. Also, of course, Mark is driving like a, you know, molester band van. And of course, he drives through, like, over a sign. We get it. Also, this whole subplot is really annoying me / weirding me out, because the actor playing Mark really looks like a gothy, like, dick version of my cousin's husband. Mm. So it's a little disconcerting.
Hmm. After the credits, David's in the Welsh kitchen whining about how Mark fucked up the audition and that Val is taking Noah's side, and then gets off the phone and says that Mark got into a car accident the night before. He didn't hurt himself or anyone else, but Jasper says they may have to put everything on hold. And of course, David has just the right attitude about this. JK, clip five.
This is just my luck. I knew this was too good to be true.
What was too good to be true? You were supposed to be covering them as a journalist. Like, what? What?
This is actually great. Like, if you actually want a story about the band, a story is happening.
Yeah.
Go write something down, you douche.
So the waters are further muddied as Jasper tries to get Noah to let them on stage again, but with David on keyboards. And Noah is dubious. Things don't improve when Mark shows up. Jasper tells him about David subbing for him, and Mark says David can take his place permanently if things go the way his lawyer thinks they will, because he's suing Noah for overserving him. maybe this is why you hire qualified bartenders, Noah. Just a thought. And at the Peach Pit later, David is trying and failing to write a song about Val when Mark enters, offering to help and bragging about the $2 million settlement he thinks he's going to get from his injury. David says he saw Mark smoking weed that night, but Mark says the breathalyzer said booze was what made him drive in an unsafe fashion. And if Noah is, as David says, not his friend, then David should have no problem keeping his mouth shut. And then obliquely threatens not to take David's stupid song if David doesn't play along with the lawsuit. Meanwhile, Noah is still straight killing it as a club owner in clip six.
25.6 ounces per bottle. Wow, how many bottles in a case? What, 12? How long does it take you to go through this?
I don't have a clue. When I get low, I reorder it.
Someone drinks too much. Do you, cut him off?
I do what I'm supposed to do. How do you know when it's too much, huh? 3, 4 drinks, what? And what if? What if they went out to another bar earlier that night?
Keep an eye on him.
Did Mark go to another bar that night? Did you see him drink?
Did your lawyer tell you to ask me that?
No, he told me to settle.
Why, if you know you're right?
To make it go away. See, criminally, I'm not responsible. But Mark can still sue me for negligence.
Were you negligent?
Look, he drove drunk. I think he's responsible for that.
But he wasn't thinking straight, and you were. At least you should have been, you know, if you're running a place like this.
Yeah, you ran it so well.
At least I was careful. You see, I didn't have the money to buy my way out of mistakes.
You didn't have to. I did that for you.
Or you stole it from Donna. And how careful were you when you burned down your office? You snot.
Yeah, thanks. I had that in my nose as well.
I'm really glad they gave Noah that burn, because David shut all the way up.
Shut up
so far that your lower lip clamps over the top of your head and you just disappear into your own navel. Fuck off and die.
Seriously, although if you don't know how fast you go through booze, like paging bar rescue, but yes, they are both terrible. And David concludes by saying he hopes that Noah gets nailed. And then later, Noah goes to see David at the Beat, where he is for some reason, to say that David was right. Noah was careless and he is going to settle. And David gives him a shitty smile about how easy it is for Noah to get out of this. But Noah and his dumb pain face, which you can see in the visual aids at previously.tv, say that he drove drunk and it cost him everything. And David's face falls because he didn't know that. And that is also hilarious. And David then calls Jasper and Mark to the Walsh house to say he's not cooperating on the lawsuit. Mark says if he doesn't, he's out of the band. And David's like, I guess I'm out. But Jasper kicks Mark out instead. How's that story going? Anyway, at the bar, David tells Noah about the weed and that he has no case. And Noah has learned his lesson about overserving patrons thanks to David. David says they can put that up against everything David owes him and call it even. And they shake brofully, and Donna is idiotically pleased, and it's all bad. I hate it. On to the A plot. Brandon and Steve get love help from a couple of randos and no help from Val. So Brandon is still responding to his breakup with Kelly in healthy ways. JK, he's parked at the bar at the Peach Pit after dark drinking. Noah tells him to get over it, basically, and then Brandon gets belligerent, daring Noah to stop him from calling Kelly. No, fortunately, isn't like, I don't care what you do. Then Jeff shows up at Kelly's to pick her up for their date with a big bouquet of flowers. And she's putting them in water when the phone rings and her machine picks up because it's the 90s. they both can hear Brandon leave a pitiful yet braying message asking Kelly to call him. She tells Jeff it's a long story, but he doesn't care. Just kidding. He says she doesn't have to explain and everyone's got it passed. And then Brandon is trying to sign up Val as the Beats restaurant critic. Like, I know she got fired from the club, but still, like, maybe hire some writers who are writers. Just a thought. I don't know what you're doing.
Or let Val do some schemey thing, which is what she's good at.
Yeah. So Val says she can't because she's working for his ex-witch. Which gives Brandon an opening to ask how things are going with Kelly and Jeff, but then changes his mind and decides he doesn't want to know. Then Brandon gets to the Beat office where everyone is maintaining their high level of professionalism. Just kidding. Steve is being such a sad sack that Janet stops Brandon at the door to say that Steve ignored three hot Bebs who came in to place a classified ad.
Oh, Bebs.
She doesn't say that. Therefore, Janet is worried about him. Brandon goes over to express his concern about Steve's state of mind, and Steve is like, that's rich coming from you, which Brandon concedes. Steve's self-care apparently involves reading the sports page every day so that he can look at winners, and Brandon suggests that Steve do more than read about him. He should do a sports story again. Hire a writer. But Brandon asks if Steve doesn't know some keg guy who is marrying a woman who works for the Dodgers, and couldn't she put Steve in touch with Mike Piazza? Do you care to comment on that, Sarah?
Not really. Just a reminder, everyone, Mike Piazza, definitely not gay.
Oh, no. Everyone knows that. Steve thinks Harry and Christy are both too busy with wedding stuff to talk to him, but Brandon refuses to take no for an answer and gives him the phone. And over at the clinic, Kelly is violating another patient's privacy as Jeff tells said patient, whose name is Ellen, that she has chlamydia, and then Kelly piles on. Clip 7.
You had unprotected sex, Ellen. You could have gotten AIDS. Instead, you got a curable infection. Consider yourself lucky.
All right. Stud mania out of control.
Shut the fuck up, Kelly.
I really wish Ellen was like, aren't you the fucking receptionist who checked me in? Like, why are you here? You are not a nurse.
Yeah. Also, who'd you catch that butchy haircut from, Kelly? Ugh. Do you consider yourself lucky to look like that? And what's the smoky eye for day? And why are you in this room? And shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Anyway.
So terrible. Ugh.
When Ellen hears that she just needs to take oral antibiotics, she assumes that means she doesn't have to tell anyone. But Jeff says her boyfriend has to be treated at the same time so that the infection doesn't get passed back and forth. But Ellen says she can't tell him because he's not the one who gave it to her. And out in the bullpen after they've dealt with this, Val is back in the corner filing and hears Jeff ask Kelly up for dinner at a new restaurant called Updike's, LOL. And as soon as they've left the area, Val calls Brandon to say she'd actually love to review a restaurant. How about Updike's? So
Eclipse Steve must have been closed for renovations. No more delicious cumin for you.
Steve goes to talk to Christy at her bridal gown fitting. She is philosophical about how looking closely makes you see things or some nonsense. And Steve is like, so about that story. And she says she can get him access to the not gay Piazza. No problem. Steve decides to push his luck by admitting he's not really a writer, but that his editor gave him this assignment to get him over a broken heart. And this strikes a chord with Christy, who looks pensive and pointedly asks what it's like to end something so intense. Steve says it's brutal, but he's trying to convince himself it's a big world out there. And who's to say the person who makes you happy at 23 will when you're 33? And Christy's like, certainly not me. Steve just keeps talking, oblivious to the effect he's having on her until she thanks him for convincing her that what she's doing is wrong and takes off. And so, LOL for Updike's. They can't even bother to get B-roll of a different restaurant. It is fully Eclipse. It just doesn't have a sign.
Yeah, it is. And then the inside, like, I think they just, like, flipped the film or something. Or, like, put up a different, like, mirror. I don't know what they did. God. And also, I don't give a shit.
So cheap. Anyway, Brandon is sitting alone when Kelly comes in with Jeff and goes over to introduce himself. And Kelly is suspicious that Brandon just happened to end up at the same restaurant where Kelly is having a date. And Brandon is pissed that she thinks he's there on purpose. And when Val shows up, Brandon says he's lost his appetite. And the next morning, Val and Brandon come into the kitchen to find Christy, a total stranger to them both, in a man's shirt making pancakes. Introductions are made. She says Steve slept on the couch and also exposes that she's supposed to get married the next day. Steve comes in to see where things are. Harry is not back from New York yet. When he is supposed to get married tomorrow, I doubt it. but they ask what happened, and she's so out of her mind that she starts breaking eggs into the measuring cups and putting the shells in the bowl. Stuff. Anyway, she's made a huge mistake because Harry is perfect. And at the clinic, the teen chlamydia love triangle story is still happening with the original girl's bitter boyfriend, Tim, having no interest in getting a safe sex lesson from Kelly, Team Tim. Later, Christy is still hanging around the Walsh house bugging Brandon when Harry shows up looking for her, and he's already heard about her cold feet from her maid of honor, Margot. Christy wants Brandon to smuggle her out so she doesn't have to talk to Harry, and he refuses for a second before bringing her out the back door and leaving Steve to get killed by Harry. Harry does, of course, blame Steve for Christy's change of heart and insists they're still getting married the next day, and he goes searching through the house for her and ends up in Steve's room where her wedding gown is hanging on the back of a door, and he starts tearing up as he says she can't have second thoughts because he can't live without her. Meanwhile, Brandon takes Christy to get a hot dog and mansplain to her that she has jitters about making a lifelong commitment. She asks if that is what happened to him. He says that he and Kelly were very committed. He just fucked up. Christy thinks the better the relationship, the scarier it is. He thinks the only thing worse than a scary relationship is not being in it anymore. So bad.
Wow.
At the clinic, Kelly's happy.
I do not think that means what you think it means. Okay. No. Such a TV trope to be like, he's just afraid of commitment, so he fucked someone else. Like, that's, it's not fear of commitment. It's just selfishness. Okay.
No.
Like, don't bother with that.
At the clinic, Kelly is happy that Tim is giving Ellen another chance, but Val is disgusted, saying that Kelly would never take Brandon back. So she's perfectly set up when she calls home to see what's up with the restaurant review, and Brandon says it's off because Christy is still there, whereupon Val turns to Kelly and asks for a ride home as if she would not have her own car there. And Kelly walks Val to the door, which is also unlikely, but inside, Christy tells Brandon she just had a great talk with Harry and the wedding's back on, thanks to Brandon and Steve. Val has the good fortune of leading Kelly up to Brandon's room just in time for Christy's thank you hug. Kelly misapprehends the situation exactly as Val wanted her to. Kelly accepts their explanations, but says the reason she jumped to the wrong conclusion is that Brandon sucks, basically.
Yeah.
And after Val departs her final shift at the clinic, Kelly decides she has to tell Val about Brandon, and he says they can go at whatever pace she wants. Ugh. After the wedding, Steve and Brandon congratulate themselves for making it happen. Steve knows that Harry would have followed Christy to Montana, and since Steve didn't follow Carly, he guesses that she wasn't the one, and bounces back with a boner for the bridesmaids. And Kelly is already in her robe when Brandon shows up to talk at her about their breakup in clip 8.
I know why I did it now.
I didn't realize it was a mystery.
Things were too perfect.
That's a new one.
I'm telling you. They were too perfect. I was scared. I didn't want it to settle down. I panicked.
And now you know better.
Absolutely. It'll never happen again.
What do you want, Brandon?
I want another chance. I think you owe me that much.
I don't owe you anything.
I'm telling you, Kelly, I'll do whatever you want.
I want you to leave me alone.
Ditto.
Yeah. Terrible. Terrible speech. Like, I honestly don't know why he would think that would work, except
yeah,
that
I don't
he's
either.
Him and he's an idiot.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's the episode.
I mean, they're really dragging this out to meet a 32-episode order. Like, fucking
no
get
kidding.
On with it. Shit.
Seriously. All right, let's name our MVP. Harry didn't seem to be doing anything wrong other than cutting his trip to New York kind of close.
Mike Piazza, he's in the Hall of Fame now, and he managed to get name dropped in this episode and didn't have to come on it.
That's true.
I don't know how you work that. Then he's like, I'll do anything. And they're like, great, we'll trade you to New York. And they did.
Least
amen.
Least valuable player. Brandon.
Yeah, Brandon. I mean,
you kind of want to say Kim, the shitty mother, but, you know, especially for giving Donna the credit for making her a better mother. But, you know, Brandon is terrible. It's really no contest.
Yeah, it's true.
All right. We have a user submitted challenge.
I scored some amazing stones.
At Maria_Kaspari asks us to list 5 stories the West Beverly Blaze could write about this episode. Bonus point if someone has to go undercover as a cafeteria lady. Not sure how that would work in any of these unless, you know, maybe if you hid as under, if Donna went under as craft services to tell the true story about labor laws being violated for child models.
They could go to the hot dog cart and test the dirty water in Dirty Water Dogs and do an expose on I don't know. No one's a wiener in the, you know, street dogs of Los Angeles. I don't know.
I mean, Brandon was a sports editor, so he would never have given up the chance to go after Mike Piazza and try to out him, probably because he is insensitive.
True. There could be Andrea would definitely get a charge out of the chlamydia epidemic.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yes, that's right up her alley. What else even happened in the stupid episode?
David on the scourge of...
Oh, yeah. Weed is a gateway drug to nuisance lawsuits.
There it is.
We made 5.
Oh, we did. Next time on Again With This, Donna's grandmother stands for David. Kelly gets saddled with illustrating a clumsy metaphor for relationship parole with an actual parolee. And Brandon, Steve, double date stuff. I don't know. Our visual aids aren't funny either. You can find those for this and every other episode of Again With This at previously.tv. You can follow that website on Twitter at previously.tv, and you can follow this podcast at AWT90210. I'm illustrative STD Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is litigious keyboard player Tara Ariano, and she's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is hand buzzer David T. Cole, and he's on Twitter at Clark. Talk to you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoonie.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.